We're starting the programme, though, this morning, as promised, by continuing to focus on the scandal which happened at Dunmurry Manor Care Home. We know now, we told you this yesterday, that families of residents of the care home have said their solicitor is now considering taking legal action against all the statutory agencies up to and including former health ministers. This is the third day of the Nolan Show's investigation into just what went on in that home and who did what, why was it allowed to stay open. We have fundamental questions for all of the authorities which we are going to pursue on behalf of those who were in that home who can no longer speak for themselves. We want to know, for example, if now that the Commissioner for Older People's report has been issued, is the police service in Northern Ireland, are they going to look at the prima facie evidence that is in that report of elderly people being neglected, of elderly people having holes in their body because the bed sores were that deep? You're going to hear evidence today of how someone couldn't swallow anymore, and so therefore they needed their food mashed up. And you're going to hear evidence from one relative today who said that what Dunmurry Manor Care Home did was they put solid food in front of this lady, knowing that she couldn't eat it, and just set it beside her. And then they come back later and they took it away again, knowing she couldn't eat it. That lady lost a significant amount of weight. So when you get neglect to that extent, are any of the authorities going to pursue anybody? Remember, no prosecutions whatsoever. None. When you think of the responsibility that a care home company, this Dunmurry Care Home is run by a company called Runwood, the Runwood Group UK. Their CEO was at a business event last week, so was too busy to speak to you. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what the message is being sent out to every other care home operator in Northern Ireland and beyond. If we have a scandal like this, nobody loses their job, no fines issued, the home wasn't closed down, nothing. Then we have questions for the RQAA, the statutory body, which are responsible for inspecting this home and other homes. And they did take action. They did ask for improvements to be made. They gave this home 90 days to make them. They stopped new admissions twice. By the way, when the home didn't make the improvements over 90 days, the RQAA didn't close it down. Just kept it open. In a moment, we're going to speak to the Chief Commissioner of the Northern Ireland Human Rights Organisation. His name is Les Allenby. Everywhere I've gone over the last couple of days in Northern Ireland, out in the streets, this is the story people are talking to me about, and they want something done. So let's see if there have been human rights breaches for the elderly people who cannot anymore speak for themselves. Before we speak to Mr. Allenby, let's remind ourselves of exactly what happened in Dunmurry Manor Care Home over the last 4 years.
Yeah, they were down to the bone. By the beginning of October, they were down to the bone.
What do you mean they were down to the bone?
You could basically see bone. They were then infected with E. coli. And the smell of them, they didn't change the dressings on a regular basis, so the smell from it, they were supposed to turn her regularly to avoid the likes of pressure sores happening. That very rarely happened. She would have went hours without being turned. She was supposed to be kept at a 30 degree tilt at all times. There was a lot of times she would have been lying on her back rather than being in that tilt.
He had no care in that home whatsoever. And when the doctor says to me, look, we're going to have to try and put a line in here, he says, but this is going to be painful. He says, because his veins have dropped. There is no vein sitting up here. Well, Stephen, my father was in tears. My father was crying.
And I would publicly call a political inquiry into the running of the private sector in our wee country.
They're in that business to run these homes at a certain price.
There has never been a more pressing time for us to have a health minister.
Are you telling me that the RQIA is presenting a situation this morning where they're saying they do not agree with your findings, but when they had the opportunity to present evidence to disagree with it, they didn't do that?
That's correct.
He was lying there in a pair of underpants and a vest. He wasn't prepared for hospital. They had no baggage, clothing packed for him, no medication or anything on standby. I went into the room and I closed the door behind me. I waited to see when the next member of staff would come in, knowing that my father was waiting to be transported to the hospital by ambulance. I waited 2 hours. Oh, it was horrendous.
There's many failures here, Steve. When you listen to a testimony like that, and as an MLA, I'm embarrassed this morning that this won't be the first point of business on Monday morning in a functioning Stormont Assembly.
My father was crying at the excruciating pain that needle was going in to try and find a vein, to try and get a line. And that doctor, I would say that doctor had a tear in his eye when he was doing that.
Well, I was a staff nurse, no, it was horrific. I mean, there weren't enough staff, you know, for the residents to get proper care. I mean, really, it was get them up, get them washed, get them dressed, and then set them in a chair. Or for the ones who are bedbound, just get them washed, you know, leave them, really. It was that bad that I just felt that I wasn't given any sort of standard of care at all.
Because I've read the older person's report, the Commissioner for Older People. He was talking about bed sores down to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
They found faeces on curtains.
I was the one that found the lady who referred to in the report with the bed sores down to the bone. There's no fatty tissue or anything. It's just a big hole. But it was right, but you can actually see the bone. I mean, and it was on, you know, her backside. So you can imagine that there's this bit of fatty tissue there, so for it to actually go down to the bone, I mean, she must have been lying there for quite a while for that to happen.
It's a failure of the most vulnerable in our society. If this are the failures that we're storing up in 2018, what hope can we give those that are fearful of what care is there?
She was sent back to Dunmurry Manor again, and I was assured by the manager and a few of the nurses that they would get her up and moving and that she wouldn't be in bed for the rest of her time there. That never happened. She spent all her time in bed. I constantly complained for them to get her out of bed. They finally did that in April time, and when they put her in a wheelchair for her lunch, her neck muscles had wasted away, so she couldn't really hold her neck up anymore. So it was just, all right, that's her, she's bedridden from here on in.
He was just lying curled up in his underclothes with a wee white sheet over him with like a yellow mixture and white vomit over the bed. And may I also add to this, Stephen, the stench of urine was rich. It was an absolute abysmal sight that my father was lying in.
So your father was lying in vomit,
yes,
and urine?
Yes, it had dried in.
Was your mum able to speak to you about her care?
No. As I say, when she did go in on the 18th of February, she could talk, but after the pneumonia, she sort of lost the be able to talk.
By the time of her death, Karen, what weight was she?
4 stone. I gave a statement to the police in December 2016. For what I'd seen in November. It was about, I felt that there was serious neglect and abuse going on in the home.
How would you sum up what happened to your mum in there?
Oh, disgusted. Absolutely and utterly disgusted. I am heartbroken. And I say this will live with me to the day I die. I mean, my mum passed away in November 16, and I can't grieve properly for her because there's so much anger. And until somebody pays for this, there'll always be that anger.
Just some of what went on in Dunmurry Manor care home. One of the every time I hear of what's happened, the reason I'm distracted is every time I hear about elderly people, the extent of the neglect in that home, I am genuinely shocked. I really, really am. And I think there is a fear among people listening to this programme today. Could this happen again? The home themselves, who have apologised in statements, we went to them yesterday, and we're going to keep going to them, by the way. And we put it to them that someone had described the elderly lady who their staff were putting food in front of, and they knew she couldn't eat it because it needed to be mashed down because she found it difficult. And we said to them, could you comment on this? Have you violated this patient's human rights? And Ron Wood's response, by the way, they're getting about £4 million of your money every year. Ron Wood's response, I don't even think it's 10 words. We're not making any comment or putting anyone forward for interview. Now, let's speak to the Chief Commissioner of the Human Rights Commission, Les Allenby. Les, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
First of all, thank you for coming on. Thank you for participating in what is, you know, a debate that is very, very front and centre in the mind of people in Northern Ireland. Have human rights been breached here?
Yes, it clearly looks that way. Anyone who's read the report couldn't fail to be moved by the individual examples that are quoted at length. And perhaps the most chilling aspect to this is a quote, actually, I think, from the Trust, which is in the report, which suggests that Dunmurry Manor is not the worst of homes in Northern Ireland. There are two sets of issues here. There's obviously any criminal liability, and that's a matter ultimately for any police investigation, and then any prosecutions would have to go through the DPP. You'd have to reach the threshold. And there are civil claims that individuals or family members could take, and that would depend then on the particular individual circumstances and establishing those. But there are human rights issues at play here, the right to privacy and family life, the issue of inhuman and degrading treatment, and whether the threshold for inhuman and degrading treatment has been met. Certainly on the face of it, the examples that we have heard and that are in the report, including the one about, for example, offering solid food to somebody who cannot eat solid food, clearly suggests issues of degrading treatment. So while you have to look at each individual set of circumstances and establish them, yes, there does appear to be human rights issues at play here.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well, we would have to look at any individual case. We have a legal advice clinic at the Commission. We'd welcome family members if they wish to contact us. We'd make an appointment. We'd have to take the details. The one thing I have learnt over the years as somebody who is a lawyer is these issues are always complex. They'll be challenged in court. Therefore, you need to get everything clearly down and evidenced. So it is about the individual circumstances. I would never be gung-ho about taking any kind of legal action. Neither would I discourage people either. It's about setting out everything comprehensively and then looking at it and then making a decision, which ultimately would have to be a decision of the Commission as a whole as to whether we should be involved in taking a case.
I would like you to take what I'm about to say, Les, in the right spirit.
Sure.
Okay? There are so many people in charge in Northern Ireland. There are so many people who have senior positions, and you're one of them.
Sure.
And what you're saying this morning is for the families to contact you. You have a report by the Commissioner for Older People in front of you, which documents elderly people living the last days of their lives in extreme pain or extreme neglect or in situations which have been extremely degrading for them. Where is your proactive investigation on their behalf? Some of them are now dead.
Yeah, Stephen, let me be candid. The Commission did work in 2012, produced a report in defence of dignity. It raised many of the issues that have come up again in the report in Dunmurry Manor.
That's my point. It's happening again.
It is.
So what are you going to do? Can you, as one of the senior people in this country, can you be proactive? Can you determine whether human rights have been breached?
Yeah. Well, if we want to take up an issue like this, we'd need an individual case. We need to take all of the individual details. This is not me resiling from the Human Rights Commission's role to promote and protect the human rights of everyone in Northern Ireland. But I think your listeners need to understand that a Human Rights Commission, an Older Persons Commissioner, the Children's Commissioner, we can shine a light on issues. We can make recommendations. We can conduct investigations. This seems to have been a very thorough investigation by the Commissioner for Older People, and I commend that. But we can't change the law. We can't change policy.
You can if you wish to.
Stephen, I'm not.
You can if you wish to set up an investigation to determine whether human rights have been breached. People who have real names, not just something which is, you know, a news story for a couple of days. Citizens of this country who the reports are they were shaking uncontrollably because of the pain. They were not given morphine before dressings were applied into open wounds which went down to the bone. Others had food sat in front of them where they could not eat it. Someone went down to 5 stone within that home.
Stephen, I've read the report. I have listened very carefully. I listened to the piece this morning. Another investigation by the Human Rights Commission is likely to reach many of the same conclusions that are in the Commission for Older People's report. Let me take a couple of issues. The duty of candour. In our investigation into conditions in accident and emergency services, one of our recommendations was the need for a duty of candour. It was in Mr. Justice O'Hara's report and the Hyman of Trier inquiry, a much more comprehensive duty of candour. It's here again in the report.
What's duty of candour mean?
The duty of candour means that both a statutory duty on bodies to be open about their failings, a legal duty on individual staff members to make it easier for whistleblowers. It's still very tough for whistleblowers. Now, another report from us saying we need to actually act on the work that's been done. We've highlighted in our own work the need for human rights training for both staff, for both those who inspect. There were failings in management and regulation here. Us conducting another investigation might well keep the issue in the public eye. That's one of the things that we can do. But I'm much more interested in looking at what the recommendations are in this report,
okay,
and making sure that they are implemented.
Okay, I hear you.
That's a matter for us. That's a matter for, you know, much more closely for the Commissioner for Older People. But we retain an interest in making sure that many of these recommendations that, as I say, some of which we highlighted a number of years ago, need to happen. It's about making change happen.
Okay.
And the change managers are not Human Rights Commissions and Older People's Commissioners. We can be the catalyst for change. We can't make those decisions. That's politicians. And in some cases, for example, if you want an adult safeguarding bill as recommended in here, we need to have politicians in Stormont to deal with that. If you want some of the changes that need to happen in terms of how regulation is undertaken, whether there are sufficient staff for that, those are matters for officials and, again, politicians. That's not to resile from that we need to be vigilant on human rights issues, including for older people.
Okay, but Les,
it's about the reality
I hear
of what
you.
We can do.
I hear you, but the reality... So this is also about, I guess, us learning what type of teeth your organisation does have or doesn't have in a situation like this. Can you, if you want to, bring a case to determine whether human rights have been breached? And if human rights have been breached, what is the consequence for an organisation?
Yeah. If an individual comes to us, and depending on the individual's circumstances or the family members of an individual, then yes, we can look into whether there would be some civil redress against the individuals. Criminal investigations are not something we can undertake. That is a matter for ultimately PSNI, and any prosecutions would be a matter for the DPP. And again, the DPP would have to have the evidence provided by the police and then make decisions about the threshold.
But when I hear of cases, if they come forward,
we'll look at that.
Yeah, but you say when they come forward. And again, I come back to this. You have sitting on your desk case after case after case.
But Stephen,
has the Human Rights Commission, for example, been in touch with the Commissioner for Older People?
We regularly meet with the other commissioners.
Regularly, about what happened in Dunmurry Manor Care Home.
We haven't met with the Older Persons Commission.
Why not?
The report was last week. Stephen, the report was only issued last week. The Older Persons Commissioner has had his hands full with handling the issues. I expect that we'll meet very quickly. We're very supportive of what's in the report and the recommendations. We'll do as best as we can to assist the Commissioner for Older People in terms of keeping the pressure on to see the changes that need to happen.
How come, Les, I see, and I might be getting confused here, but how come I see cases? You know, I'm a citizen in this country as much as anybody else, and I'm learning as much as anybody else. I see cases in the news where individual cases have been taken to a court to determine whether someone's basic human rights have been breached or not. I see those cases in the news. Correct?
Yes, Stephen, yeah.
So who takes them?
Well, individuals can take them in themselves. There's a legal aid system to assist that.
Or can you, if you desire to?
Stephen, the issue of our standing, in other words, our ability to take cases in our own name, was very much under challenge in the recent access determinations case, as you know, and it went all the way up to the highest court in the land. Now, ultimately, that case didn't fail in terms of were there human rights violations in terms of our laws and access determination. It failed because we took the case in our own name, because we took the view that it was extremely difficult to find a woman, an individual, in the circumstances that we felt showed a human rights violation, to go to court in her own name. It didn't seem fair to put somebody through that. So these issues are very much at play. We'll now look to get our powers clarified and back. So it would be wrong of me to pretend that this is straightforward and easy in terms of legal action takes a considerable amount of time. It puts people in the public light. We need to be honest and open with people about the implications of taking legal action. We haven't, in the Commission over the years, resiled from taking legal action in difficult cases. We've done it in terms of the failure to allow unmarried couples and same-sex couples to adopt, for example. We've done it in terms of abortion. Now, we have limited resources. We have to use those resources as effectively as possible. I wouldn't resile from taking a case around these issues, but we need to see the individual facts and circumstances. We need to look with the families about what the implications of taking such a case is, so that they go into this with their eyes open. That's just about being fair to those individuals. In many ways, I'm much more interested in about seeing the whole system change that needs to happen. Individual cases are one of the things we can do, but it's not the answer to this. Ultimately, this is about systems change, and that has to come from the officials and ultimately through politicians, because if it needs legislative change, that's a matter for politicians.
Okay,
if it needs initial funding, that's going to be a matter for both officials and politicians as well.
But at the top of this interview this morning, you've said that you're in no doubt. Well, you've said you believe there are human rights breaches in this case.
On the basis of what I've read in this report, yes, that certainly is so. Now, you have to remember, if you go into court, you're taking a case, you have your own legal team, and whoever you take a case against has a legal team who will robustly defend their position. So it's very important, again, that you get the individual details, you test those details, you verify them, because they will be tested significantly if you ever went to court.
Okay, well, here's a statement of fact.
Sure.
The PPS are not pursuing, Public Prosecution Service are not pursuing any prosecutions against the Home. The Police Service of Northern Ireland haven't even replied to us in a statement yet. We're still waiting to see what they're doing, given the fact that there is now documentation highlighting many, many cases of abuse of elderly people in the Murray Manor care home. The RQIA did one interview and then they're still reading the report. And the home itself continues to get millions of pounds, and they simply issue the following: we are not making any comment or putting anyone forward for interview. So they send out a statement apologising, and that's it. No more accountability. Meanwhile, elderly people who suffered, that's it. Let's move on to talk about trees and the sky and money and Brexit.
Yeah, Stephen, I mean, it's completely unsatisfactory, but this issue is not an issue that's suddenly arisen overnight. It's been with us now in policy terms, and I don't just mean in Northern Ireland, for more than 20 years. There was a Royal Commission, for example, on the funding of care, nursing home care, in 1999. We've had a review again, relatively recently again, about the funding of care. As you know, the government made statements about how we fund care, got themselves into great difficulty in terms of the issue during the general election in Britain in 2017. We now have a very strong movement in Parliament to look at trying to find a cross-party consensus for dealing with care. The whole issue of trying, first of all, to keep as many people in independent living in the community, and how we fund that has been around for at least 20 years and beyond. The issue then of how we finance nursing home care and whether it should be private, public provision or both has been around for 20 years. And it's not confined to Northern Ireland. And we still have these individual cases and circumstances. It is about a whole systems review. The Human Rights Commission will do what it can. We are a small player, but it is about ultimately where responsibility lies here, which is at departmental level through then the proper regulatory framework. We don't lack for laws. There are some additional laws that would certainly help, but this is about significant management of these issues and a policy that everybody understands. Nobody should go through what the residents of Dunmurry Manor have been through over the last few years, and no family members should have been placed in the positions that they were placed in terms of their loved ones and the care they got at the end of life. You won't find an argument for me otherwise than that. But it is about being open and honest about how and where responsibility lies, and what, I mean, the Older Persons Commissioner has done a service for all of us by highlighting this issue. They've made the recommendations. We need to pursue those recommendations to make sure they are implemented.
Sure.
Ultimately, it's not the Commission for Older People or ourselves that can make those things happen. That is about officials and politicians.
Do you know what, Les? When you talk about ultimately and policy, and I get all of that, Helen Bell, she had a name. She was an elderly woman whose bed sore went down to the bone. Her relative watched her shaking in pain. And I am asking every one of you senior people in Northern Ireland, and you're one of them, Les.
Yeah.
I'm asking you on behalf of Helen Bell. She had a name. Can any of you do anything without referring it to someone else?
Stephen, yeah, we have powers to offer advice and guidance.
I'm not asking you about advice and guidance.
But
that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you, is there any redress?
Stephen, you do a disservice to your listeners by suggesting that we can, that trying to push me into saying that we can do things that I know we can't.
I'm not trying to push you into anything. I'm trying to get to a situation.
Yeah.
Can I explain to you what I'm trying to do? And then, of course, you can answer. And thank you again for coming on, because you don't have to. But you see, the role that I play, the very small role that I play, in Northern Ireland, is that, you know, that individual citizen is who I try to fight for, okay? So it's very, very easy for any authority to widen it out. And authorities love doing that. You widen it out so that one individual citizen is not looked after, which is why I repeat again, Helen Bell. Or indeed, the man whose veins the doctors couldn't find, and the doctors said that it was the worst case they had ever seen of dehydration, of neglect. Those are individual people, and I'm asking you, and I'm asking the police, and I'm asking the Public Prosecution Service, the director of the Public Prosecution Service, is anybody going to look at the individual cases on behalf of those individual human beings?
And Stephen, at the front of our interview, we have a legal advice clinic. We'd welcome family members contacting us. We will then arrange to see them. We will gather the details. We'll look at what we can do. We have certain powers, we have to act within those powers. And I think we've, as a commission, have acted very strongly in a number of human rights issues. They've made us very unpopular in some quarters. I'm willing to do that. This is not about me washing my hands of the terrible circumstances of some of the individuals that were faced in Dunmurry Manor. But it is about being honest about what I have the powers to do. I'll do everything within those powers that we can to assist, but I cannot transform the way that our care system, our nursing home care system, is regulated or is funded. It's not within my gift to do that. I can use whatever influence I have, but I don't have my hands on the levers of decision making. And to suggest otherwise would be to be dishonest with you, and I'm not prepared to be dishonest with you or your listeners.
We always appreciate you coming on, Les.
Yep.
Thank you very much indeed for doing so.
Not at all. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.